Good morning and happy new year. It's great to be with you, even if it's on video. I'm really excited about the message that I have to deliver this morning. I want to tell you, I'm in Abilene with my parents, my 92-year-old dad and my 91-year-old mom, and we're with about 25 other family members celebrating Christmas with mom and dad. And so I really appreciate that you guys are letting me do this on a video, but I think it is a really good message for today as we begin a new year. We're in the book of James. We're going to continue in the series. And I want to go back and just remind everybody just a minute, what's the goal, or what's especially God's goal in the book of James? And that's a very important foundation that we're laying here for almost every sermon that we've done, that Jeremy or I have done. We go back to this foundation of what's God trying to accomplish here in the book of James. And it begins in chapter 1 and really sums up in verse 4. And he had already talked about we should have joy when we have faced trials, and that's going to build up our perseverance, and we need to let perseverance finish its work. And so here's what it says, verse 4. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so that's the kind of the point of James. And he goes on from there to say the way you do this is to have to ask God for wisdom. And when you ask him, then do what he says as he gives you wisdom. And so the rest of the book is about that wisdom. And James is going to hit on some really timely wisdom today in chapter 4. Ironically, and you know I say ironically or coincidentally, it's New Year. It's a new year. And we just experienced the Happy New Year Day yesterday. And what's going on around our country, and maybe the world, I'm not sure, is that people are making what's called New Year's resolutions, and I'm into that a little bit. I do that some. And I was looking up a bunch of lists of different New Year's resolutions, and there's two or three things that almost all the top 10 resolutions hit on one of these two or three things. And first is health. Either health by working out more or health in how you eat. And so health is a big part of almost everybody's New Year's resolutions. And then another one is finances. You know, everybody is making resolutions about how they're going to do better in budgeting, and they're going to save more, and they're going to be smart about their money. And so that's a second area. Health, finances, and then another one is a resolution to do that thing that you always wanted to do. Maybe it's pick up a new hobby. So maybe I'll start playing croquet or something, or knitting. Or maybe it's to take a trip, that trip you always wanted to take, and a vacation somewhere where you've always wanted to do it. But those three things, health, finances, and to do the thing you always wanted to do, are at the top of the list of these New Year's resolutions. And more power to you if some of those things are on your list. But James speaks to us today in a different way. And before we get into that, the wisdom that he's going to present today, I want to pray. God, bless your message today. We thank you so much for your word. May we have ears that hear. And when we hear your message, may we be obedient sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's the wisdom nugget for today in James? Well, it's in James chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. I had a difficult time making a title for this sermon because the title I wanted to do seemed too long, so I wrestled around with that, it's the long version. It's called Arrogant Planning or Seek God with Your Whole Heart. And so you obviously know which one of those is the right box to check. But James is going to talk about what I'm going to call arrogant planning. And so here it is, James 4, verse 13. He says, "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money.'" Why? He says, "You don't even know what will happen tomorrow." We say amen to that. "We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. So then, if you know the good you ought to do and don't do it, you sin." Woo, man, that hits me, and I believe it hits you. So arrogant planning, that's what James said. You guys are planning stuff arrogantly as if you're in charge. And you know, we're not in charge. Now we are, and to a degree, because we're the ones who make decisions daily, decisions about how we're going to spend our life. And so we do have some control over the process of living life, but maybe not as much as we think. So arrogant planning has two major flaws. The first flaw is, I'll say it's this, you want to do something on your own. That's without God's leadership. Do something on your own, and you want to do it for your own sake. Or another way to put it is, you want to be in control. You have a desire. We have a desire to be in control. So we plan, and we make plans. So this is how our life's going to work out. This is how we're going to spend our time. This is how we're going to spend our life. And so along with that is the idea, what's in it for me? Our plans often focus on our self-benefiting. And so we want to do it on our own, for our own sake, which in other words is we want to be in control on our own. And we want to do, we ask the question, well, what's in it for me? I'm going to spend this time here or there or doing this or doing that. And so what am I going to get out of that? How is it going to benefit me? And God says, that's not the way. Instead, you want to ask, what's my desire for you? What's my will for your life? Before you start getting into your plans, you need to think about, is this really the thing I want you to spend your life doing? So arrogant planning, what I'm calling arrogant planning, opposes a life of surrender to which God calls us. He's called us to surrender. A couple weeks ago, that was the title of the sermon, surrender. Jesus says, come follow me. He says, leave everything behind and come follow me. Surrender to my teachings and to my will. And so what is that like? Well, the core of surrender, the core of following Jesus is surrendering. The core of surrendering is trusting God. And trusting God, you can't surrender unless you trust God. And I want to read this to us from Proverbs. James is one of James's favorite places to go. Proverbs 3. It's one of the famous Proverbs. And I want to read it, kind of break it down as I read. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This is talking about surrendering, really. And so it says this, "My son, don't forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." And that's the thing James says we're looking for, mature, complete, not lacking anything. That's peace and prosperity. And then Proverbs says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humans." And then here it gets to the key. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight." Coming to God, submitting all of our ways, all the ways we do things, all the things we do, not just the things we do, but the way we do the things we do. Submit them to God. Is this God's way of doing this or that activity? Is this God's way? Is this what God wants me to do with my life? I'm not just talking about our career, but I'm talking about the daily living of our life. What does God want me to do? Should we maybe ask God what he wants me to do before we get off doing it? So here's a couple of questions I want to ask yourself. I want you to ask yourself these questions. These are the questions I'm asking me as I read Proverbs. I'm asking myself this. When I read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and submit in everything you do, submit to him." Here's some questions I want you to ask, practical. Who or what is in control of your life? Well, right off the bat, I want to say, well, me, I'm in control, but am I? Or have I given chunks of my life to projects, to work, to relationships that really I didn't intend to do, and maybe I wanted at the time? You know, sometimes I remember back in the day when I committed my life to a boat. I bought the boat, I owned the boat, and then next thing you know, the boat owned me. And if you've ever had a boat, you know what I'm talking about. But it's the same with all the stuff we have. And I made commitments to it. I made commitments to jobs. I made commitments to people. And some of those have been great. But did I ask God first? Was I really seeking him first before I made these decisions? He may send me right down the road I was headed for. But did I ask him, is this what you want me to do? Is this how I want you to spend your life? God, show me the way that I should spend my days. And so who's in control of your life? And then this question, have you surrendered your life to God and to God's plans, God's will, God's ways? Have you surrendered your life? So that question I would say, what does that mean? How? Right off the bat, another one. When I say, have you surrendered your life? What I mean is, have you surrendered your time, your thoughts? Yeah, okay, time. How are you going to spend your time? Have I surrendered that to God? That's my life. Because you know what? At the end of the day, time is life. And life is time. We all have 168 hours during the week. We're in that way created equal. How are we going to spend those gifts of hours that God's given us and wants us to use for his good, his glory, but also for our good? Time. How do you spend your time? Second, how do you spend your energy? Now, I've used these same things in other sermons, but this is exactly what James is talking about. Instead, ask what's God's will before you go off spending your time and committing time to a certain project or thing or person. Ask God, is this what you want me to do? Is this your will for my time? And then energy. You know, you only have so much energy. And so energy goes along with time, but am I going to just pour myself into this or this or this or this? And all that could be in these other New Year's resolutions, you know, my health. Am I going to pour myself into the workout? Am I going to pour myself into the new diet? Am I going to pour myself into my finances? I'm going to work harder, make more. Oh, am I going to pour myself into my new hobby, you know, knitting, crochet? I'm thinking about it. Not really. But how are you going to, so ask, what we need to do is ask God, how are we going to spend our time, our energy, and our resources, meaning our money, but also more than that. Because one of the resources you have is the talents God's given you. How are you going to use those talents? Man, I'm amazed at what our band does with the talents God has given them. They've chosen to use those talents, those resources, to the glory of God. I'm proud of it. But before we get committed in one thing or another, or make a resolution to do this or that, maybe we should go, no, not maybe, for sure, we're going to go to God. God, is this what you want me to do? Is this what you want me to do? So ask God for wisdom, and then be intentional about seeking God. And what I mean by that is seek God and his ways in a intentional, daily, weekly, looking toward the future, if you're making plans out ahead of you, that's great. But make plans asking God, is this where you want me to spend the summer? Is this what you want to do with this semester of school? What do you want me to do, God? Where should I spend myself, my time, my energy, my resources? Where should I do that? And be intentional in asking God in a regular way. And what He will do as you continue to ask, show me what you want me to do, God. He'll do it. His Spirit will speak it into you. He'll give you things to read. They'll just pop up. He'll give you some wise advice from a friend or a mentor. And all of a sudden, as you're asking God, God is going to provide answers of how He wants you to spend your life. And so then ask yourself this question. Is each activity for the advancement of God's kingdom, or is it for my own pleasure and comfort? What's my motivation behind the way that I spend my time? What's my motivation for the things I do? Is it for God's kingdom, or is it for me? And you know, here's what, man, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember two years ago at this time, we started a series on the Sermon on the Mount. And how can we get away from this teaching of Jesus? Because really that's what wisdom is putting into practice the teachings of Jesus. And one of the cores, one of the most foundational verses in the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 6:33. It's this, seek first His kingdom. First, everybody say first. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. We need to lay our plans before the Lord and not say, I'm going to do this, God. Will you please bless it? No. Say, God, show me what you want to do. Give them a fill in the blank question, not a multiple choice question. Say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to spend myself? And in the way I do it, is that going to be, I'm seeking His kingdom. His kingdom means His reign, His rule in my life, in our world. I'm seeking His kingdom. I want to be of use to God. I want the things, the way that I spend. When I look back at my life, I want to say, yes, I was doing those things for the glory of God. We might not see a lot of, you know, production, but we've planted seeds, we've watered, and we've seen growth because we ask God, what do you want me to do? And He's answered, and then we've done it. That's when I look back at my life, I want to look and see. That's what I want to see. Not that I just made myself happy until that thing, that new thing, you know, that new hobby, it got old. And I had to start a new hobby, and none of them really fulfilled me. It was fun for a moment, but it didn't really fulfill me. I want to ask God, first, seek the kingdom. First, ask God. When I'm making my plans, don't be foolish and just run off and say, I'm going to do this and this and this. You better say, I'm going to check and see, is this what God wants me to do? I'm going to spend some time in prayer asking, is this what God wants me to do? Is this the resolution God wants me to have for this year? I know, you know, some of you guys, some of the men and women in our congregation last year at this time made a plan to read the whole Bible, and they were blessed. Amen? Yeah, you were blessed as you read through the whole Bible because you made a plan that God initiated, that God laid out in front of you, and it was great. And this is where God's going to give success to the plans that you bring before Him for the question when you ask Him first. Don't say, God, I'm going to do this. I'd really like to have you along with me. Uh-uh. You say, God, what do you want me to do? And then, you know, here's Jeremiah in that famous letter. At the end of it, he says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you ask God, show me what you want me to do, you can't be holding on to part. Like, God, I'm kind of half willing to do what you want to do. You got to seek Him with your whole heart. You got to let Him have it all. You may think you want to do this, this, and this, but God says, He may say a completely different thing. And if you're seeking Him with your whole heart, it doesn't matter. when God says it, when he gives you the vision, when his word reveals what you ought to do, when a wise mentor talks to you about what you should do, like your spouse, then you should say, praise God, I'm on the right track. You know, sometimes you wonder, what about work? You know, does work? Well, here's the thing. I think God's kingdom is most often advanced at the workplace. You are a light. You're the light of the world. And when you go to work, people are going to notice that you're the light of the world. So part of your plan for this year might be to be a brighter light in the workplace. You're going to spend a lot of your time there. You're going to spend a lot of your energy there. And so you want to do that in the way that honors God, that seek first his kingdom in the workplace as a worker, as an employee, as an employer. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't just make a plan. I'm going to get a job. It's going to make a whole bunch of money. Better ask God first. Is that the job really he has in mind for you? In closing, I want to suggest two other things. One is daily thanksgiving. That every day you set a time where you are thankful for what God has done. You look back through your day and you thank God for what he's done. Sometimes you're going to thank him for hard things. God, bless me in this hard thing. It was a rough day. Didn't feel good, but I know you're at work, even when it doesn't feel good. So give God thanks every day for specific things in your day, specific conversations you've had, specific work that you did and you got done, some things you've done at home. Thank God for these things every day in your day, thanking God. And then the second thing is some daily, I'm going to call it accountability/confession. Look back in your day, say, God, I did this. I spent my time doing this work, you know, and I tell them, this is the project I did today. This is the work I got done today at my job. And ask, was it kind? Yes. Was it generous? Was I generous? And was I honest? And then if yes is the answer, then you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for giving me that opportunity to be a light. And if you didn't, you're going to say, God, forgive me. Give me another chance tomorrow. Let me go at that again tomorrow because I want to be kind. I want to be generous. I want to be honest in everything I do. Give yourself a little quiz. You know, check. How are you doing? Do it while you brush your teeth. Oh, wait. You don't brush your teeth? Well, yeah, everybody does. Brush your teeth. Thank God. Be a thankful toothbrusher. And then sometimes you're going to end your day just worn out. And at that time, you're just going to pray, God, give me rest for today. I'm hoping that we won't be foolish, arrogant planners. So against the will of God. But instead, we would seek God with our whole heart. Amen. Love you guys. I'll see you at the building next week, January 9. Love you. Bye-bye.